it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Good to be on with you guys.
Well, we were just having an in-depth conversation about it. I know it feels like every single week in the NFL, you get a result that maybe some people, like myself, weren't expecting. Were you locked in to the divisional game last night, and were you surprised by the way it played out?
Well, of course, again, each team in the NFL, in my view, can beat any team. And it's because we are designed for parity. We're basically designed so that if you win the Super Bowl, you're the last to draft. When people waive players, you're the last team. If you're the Super Bowl winner, you're the last out of 32. You're 32 to be able to pick that player up. Every other club gets a chance to pick him up when he leaves another team. That's subject to his contract. Where I'm going from this whole thing's designed for parity. And it's designed, frankly, every way it can be for everybody to be 50-50. And candidly, I really think you should go 50-50, but for your ability to get better than everybody else. So long-winded answer, doesn't surprise me at all that a team can evolve. That New York Giant team that we played when we opened up this year, didn't open up, but played them, is not the same team that's playing right now, and it's but 3 weeks later.
Do you feel like the East is even more open now that the Philadelphia has lost than it was going into this weekend, this past weekend?
Well, I don't know that that game created my answer, but in general, I have felt that our division is we're very capable of evolving into what we want to be as we hopefully get better against the Panthers. I hope we evolve into a team that can compete for the NFC East Championship or the division winner.
Now, I know you were talking about some of the rules in place for the NFL that create this kind of parity, and we really like that. Sometimes the rules are a little bit tougher, like when they fined you for this past weekend. Have you appealed that fine? And if not, is today the deadline, and are you going to appeal it?
I'm still considering that. We've got a couple more conversations that we're having with various ones. But that's still open, so I'm not going to be able to give you an answer there on the appeal. That's that. And, of course, a league, teams have to have basic rules they agree to, because what one team owner, what one team's coach, what one team's players does have a reflection on everyone. And then there's always a matter of opinion. And questions about the amount, or certainly whether it falls in that category or not. And so all of that relates to an appeal. It's part of being a league. I understand the discipline of the league for sure. The disciplinary actions of the league.
If I know anything about my co-host, he wants you to keep fighting. He's always about even going after it. Jerry, there were a lot of positives coming out of that Jets game. One concern from a lot of people was how much the Jets were able to run on the ball on you guys. Do you think after y'all's meetings this week that's a quick and easy fix, or is that something you feel like you need to keep an eye on?
Oh, well, quick and easy is really not trite to your question, but really it's more than that. But it is a fundamental scheme thing that execution is as part of as what the scheme is. And simply said, everybody's got a gap responsibility. Everybody's got a place they're supposed to be responsible for. And if you're not, you can create quite a hole in the defense. And you can practice that. You can repeat practicing, or you can repeat your I'm giving the same word, but my point is you can get better. No, you can get better practicing with what's causing us to have these problems.
Are you feeling like we might see the same offensive line as last weekend, or are you thinking Tyler Guyton will be back starting at left tackle?
Yeah, I think that game day is going to tell us that, but we'll have it's likely that he'll be in there, absent some setback here these next couple of days, and but some of the same players that played well, you will see out there because of the fact that we don't have everybody, and we'll need to dress out extra players, and you're allowed to dress out without counting on the roster count. You're allowed to dress out an extra offensive lineman. And that's something a lot of people aren't aware of. But you can be above your 53 dress out if he's an offensive lineman.
You just talked about some of the offensive linemen who have been playing really well. Obviously, Nate Thomas is one of those people. Do you think before the injury, Tyler Guyton was playing well enough to remain the starter?
Well, I do, yes. But Nate Thomas has really been a pleasant thing to watch him evolve. He had an outstanding training camp, and he's really gotten, if you will, of more importance, of more depending on him than we could have anticipated starting this year. So bottom line is, yes, it's a good situation to have. And Nate gives us position flex, too. He can go to other positions.
And we're always looking for more of that, for sure. Mm-hmm. We know we have George Pickens now, and everybody's very happy about that. But during the draft, there seemed to be some interest in Tet McMillan. Do you remember your feelings on Tet McMillan, and are you looking forward to seeing him Sunday?
Well, I think that, I don't zero in when we've got an interest in a player and he's playing us and that type thing. It's a great question, and it's really something of interest to fans. But from my perspective, I'm more worried about who we're going to have out there and who how they're going to play than I am about who we're playing.
Well, the other thing, too, though, Bryce Young, quarterback for the Panthers, hasn't quite lived up to that number one overall billing. Do you believe that it's kind of a roll the dice whenever you have the number one overall pick and you go for a quarterback? Or is it really about the organization and the development that they're drafted into?
No, I think it's a major roll of the dice at the quarterback spot. The issue is, of course, that's a lot of consideration when you look at it through what a number one first pick in the draft, what it's worth or in terms of getting other picks. And so it is a big consideration. But the real consideration, the real cost to the franchise is all of the games and the time and the everything that has to be invested to determine or give this player every opportunity to be the starting quarterback in the NFL for whatever team. Now, that's a high price to pay. And you can spend a lot of years, you can spend a lot of games, you can have a lot of negative outcomes and still not know if you've got a top quarterback. And sometimes you don't know it, and you see teams that the player moves on, and then he will go someplace and after a few years become the quarterback that the team originally that drafted him thought they were going to have.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rough road to hoe to draft and develop quarterback.
Now, in terms of y'all's quarterback, I think we all realize football is very much it's a team effort. But with the way Dak is playing right now, do you think he can carry the Cowboys to the playoffs?
Well, the way a lot of what makes Dak Dak is what he does to the team, not just his play, not just his responsibility in the play, but it's what he's done to prepare the team, not only at his duties at quarterback, but what he's done to prepare the team as well as provide a unique leadership. He's the best leader, frankly, that I think I've ever been around. That's probably enhanced by the fact he's the quarterback. And I thought Michael Irvin may be one of the best leaders I've ever seen. But the bottom line is that Dak does enjoy that status of quality, maybe the best, and yet does play quarterback. And so it doesn't surprise me that what I heard time and time again from coaches that have been here that are not here any longer is that Dak raises the level of everybody around him better than anybody they've ever seen.
Now, Dak also said he would love it if he could play until he was 40. That was a nice round number, maybe into his 40s. Could you see that given, you know, some of the injury concerns that he's had over the past few years?
Well, we all know that the physical game that we have, that injury concerns are just a fact. They are a real concern, more so than I think any other sport. Having said that, the way Dak plays this game and the mental aspect of it and what he does before snap out there, you know, I've heard over the years different coaches say, we just got to get Dak to do less. We've got to somehow make those calls before the snap. We've got to give him help in that area because we just got so much on his shoulders apart from actually getting the ball to the spot he wants to throw it if it's a pass play. So, you know, this is a long-winded conversation you can have here, but that's why we made the commitment, candidly. With Dak at the time in his career that we made him the highest paid player in the NFL. And I think he's the reason why we all have a chance to be optimistic about this season. And I think it can happen.
But you've never been known to be long-winded or anything, right?
When we get going on a subject, it just every word just breeds three more.
Yeah, that's the way. We understand. We're in the radio business. We got to talk to Jerry. We heard Jonathan Mingo had a little bit of a setback. There might be a little bit of concern with what's going on there. Do you know exactly what happened? Are you concerned that he won't be ready for whenever the windows open?
Well, it doesn't surprise me when someone is coming off of an injury, and it doesn't surprise me that. They can get out, and it may not even be in the same area. It's one of the things we always talk about, that after somebody has been rehabbing from an injury, that he could likely have something else come up. So it doesn't surprise me, but I do not know, don't know that anybody knows, the time frame from the extent of the injury as to how it might compromise him on getting back.
Okay, gotcha. Now, this was something I was listening to you talk with Sean and RJ, and you were talking about how much business you've done up in New York and how you spent a lot of time up there. And you mentioned business a couple of different times. I was kind of curious, on game day, when you're out on the field and y'all are all kind of getting ready for the game, do you talk business with anybody out on the field? Do you talk business with people up in the suite? Or are you like, no, I'm focused. I'm locked in on the game today.
Oh, it's always about the game. Always about the game. Now, you can talk about if business is the numbers of fans that are in the stands, or if a business has to do with something they're doing with the showing of the game, the network. If you're talking about that, then, you know, I'm answering a question with a question. Is that business?
Right.
Well, the business of the NFL is that player or those players out on that field. I'm always amused when someone says, I'm out here playing ball and I let others take care of business. Man, this is called pro football, not amateur. The whole show, from what you're wearing on your feet to what's being done to broadcast the game or what's being done on the sideline, it's all business.
Now, also, Jerry, yesterday, Turning Point announced that they're going to have an alternative halftime show. And I was kind of curious, do you welcome that kind of approach, or do you feel like that takes away from what the NFL does during the Super Bowl?
I'm not really familiar with that announcement, and I accept what you're saying.
Gotcha.
But it's such a knowing what I know about presenting events or presenting programming, you have a huge reason to get top programming so that that dial is where it is when you change the scenery. It's called preceding something you want people to stay on and watch with something that will cause that dial to already be there. Keeps them right in line. And so to me, to be playing a Super Bowl, you've got to be pretty compelling to have something that reach up there and turn that dial. Just from the standpoint of the habit of the nature of, if you will, the business. So one of the most important things top programming does is the lead in to what's coming on the screen after they're through with that programming. And I know a lot of people have always put a high value on what the NFL is, its value as a lead in to following programming that's coming later.
That's a really good point, Kevin, because Jerry Jones leads into Mickey Spagnola. So it's always about the lead-in programming.
Now listen. Don't get anything going here about Mickey. He's my man, and we've been together a long time. So, and boy, I do think the world of him, and he's an example that I give with media all the time. I say, guys, you know, we're all cousins. I'm here because I love sports. And I chose to spend my life principally in sports. And you did too. That's why you guys are there.
That's true.
And so no matter what we disagree on, we're still family. And that's not buttering you up. That's just a fact. I can appreciate why you're doing what you're doing today.
Now, big weekend in sports in the Metroplex outside of just this game. Do you have a feel? Do you have a prediction for Texas OU this weekend?
Well, I'm not going to go with a prediction in any way, but I know that to me, long before the Cowboys, the idea of this game fed my desire to be a part of football and be a part of my future being a part of this great game. It is an institution of the game of football. And what's neat is, it usually has a center cut of some of the best players there are in this United States in American football. So it is a big deal. And it happens that OU and Texas, so much of OU's program, so many of those players come from Texas.
Yeah.
And so it's just an original in terms of putting together a lot of the things that have made this sport be what it's been and what it's evolved to today for. So I just can't say enough about the fact that the Cowboys, Texas, all of that has a touch to the Texas OU game because it has a significance of its own in American football.
Well, we appreciate the time very much, good sir. Best of luck against Carolina, and we'll catch you next Friday.
Let's have a good weekend, guys, and
yes,
a big one against Carolina. All right. Bye.
There you go. There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.